This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 12, 2018. The 11th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Arise and eat, else the journey will be too great for you. The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are the words an angel spoke to the prophet Elijah. Usually when angels speak to us, things are not going well. It's the case for Elijah. Just give you a little scenario. Elijah, we've just had that dramatic incident where Elijah is confronting over 100 prophets of Baal, and they both set up altars. Okay, we're going to call down fire from heaven, and we'll see who is the true and the living God. Prophets of Baal are jumping around, dancing. They go on and on. Elijah mocks them for doing that. Maybe Baal's asleep. Maybe he doesn't hear you. Scream louder. Cut yourselves. Yeah, that's it. Do that. Nothing happens. Elijah prays. Fire comes down from heaven, consumes the offering, the altar, all of the water that was poured around it. And a little icing on the cake, Elijah kills all the prophets of Baal. God wins. Yeah. Well, Ahab and Jezebel, the evil king and queen of Israel, they are not at all pleased that Elijah has killed over 100 of their prophets of their false god. And they are, to use our terminology, gunning for Elijah. Elijah takes off. He walks a day and he falls under a tree. And he says, Lord, I'm done. Just take me. Take me. Kill me. Elijah is not afraid of being dead. It's not a matter of, oh, Ahab and Jezebel are going to kill me. It's not a matter of he doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to die at their hands because he has just won a great victory for the true and living God. And it would look bad for the true and living God if his prophet was allowed to have hands laid in him by two evil king and queen and be killed. So he wants to be taken not because he's afraid of death, but because he doesn't want God to be dishonored. He is over his generation. He is fleeing the world's evils that are culminated in this false deity worship. St. Ambrose actually says about this particular incident, he says that Elijah was fleeing the contagion and filthy conduct of his generation. He was overwhelmed at how evil things were, and he just wanted the Lord to take him out of the situation. Guess what? Ain't happening. You're going to deal with things, Elijah. You're going to deal with things, even though you are overwhelmed, and I'm going to help you out here. And this angel provides Elijah with miraculous bread from heaven. Elijah's sitting there sleeping. The angel wakes him up. Arise and eat. He gets up, he eats, goes back to sleep. Next day, the angel comes back. Arise and eat, else the journey will be too great for you. He takes and eats, and he goes on his journey. This is not a Sunday lesson. Okay, that's really cool. Elijah was a great guy. No, it's about us. We can put ourselves in his position. When God's people, for instance, I said that he wasn't afraid of dying. He didn't want God to be dishonored. If you are a faithful servant of God, you will never want him to be dishonored. Hence my always harping on living a practical Catholic life. No, even when you're behind your own closed doors at your house, when you're out in public, when you're dealing with people who are not in the church. We deal with it everything, pervasively. We should deal with it to bring honor to God no matter what we do. Like I said, even while you're sitting around your house by yourself, Almighty God, the Holy Spirit indwells you, God's casting his eyes upon you, the Blessed Virgin Mary is there with you, watching everything you do to see your consistency. We never want God to be dishonored. We should, as Elijah, flee the contagion and filthy conduct of this generation. Oh, after all this, and after Jesus came, everything's just hunky-dory. No, it's not. Things are probably in some ways even worse than when Elijah was there, as far as filthy conduct of society. It wasn't legal to kill babies in Elijah's time, but look at us. This is something that we have to flee. We flee it. We are supposed to confront it. And that can be overwhelming. To honor God in everything we do can be overwhelming. It is not our nature. It is something that is given to us at our baptism and must be nurtured and increased throughout our lives. Faith. We must have faith. If you don't, you will be overwhelmed. When we are overwhelmed, it's interesting to think, there are a lot of people who read this story, well, I wish an angel, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I wish an angel would show up and give me some bread. You have something so much more profound. An angel brought, yes, miraculous bread, but it was just bread. Elijah ate it. He was strengthened and sustained for his journey. But it was bread that when he ate it, it broke down, became energy for his body to work, and he proceeded. We have something that is so much greater. We have the Eucharist, of which this is a picture. The Eucharist has been given us by not an angel, but Jesus Christ himself. The last verse, the last words in the gospel that we read today, the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. You don't just get bread that will sustain you for a time. You don't even get like the manna that rained down from heaven, that if you picked up too much of it or left, it got worms and it deteriorated and it stuck. We take something within ourselves in the Eucharist that is eternal. We always throw around that it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, act like it. Understand that. It is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. He doesn't bless some special bread. He gives you some spiritual power. You take deity into yourself. That bread that Elijah ate, as I said, it broke down and became energy for him. What we take into ourselves, the sacramental forms break down, but the eternity that we bring in ourselves is permanent. It is eternal. Everything else we eat becomes part of us. We bring the Lord Jesus Christ into our very beings. We have to understand that we become part of him. We become closer and more conformed to his image. We become more like him if it is approached appropriately, and that's with understanding. An angel brought bread to Elijah. Well, how awesome is that? How much more awesome is it when we say in the Mass, we humbly beseech thee, Almighty God, command these offerings to be brought by thy holy angel to thine altar on high. We hand something to the angel to show in heaven because it's God Almighty himself. It's not just a piece of bread. When we understand this, the way we approach in the way we think of the Eucharist, the strength that we should derive from knowing that we take eternity into ourselves, it should be overwhelming. Not because I say it, because the Catechism says it. The Roman Catechism says it is indescribable and incredible what pleasure and delight this bread fills devout souls, even when they must contend with earthly troubles and disasters. It is incredible what pleasure and delight this bread fills, not souls, devout souls, receive incredible pleasure and delight from the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. If that is the case, which it is because the Roman Catechism tells us that that is the case, what is a person's condition that says to you, I don't go to Mass, I don't get anything out of it? You are not a devout soul. That's kind of direct and harsh, but it's true. The blessing of it is you can fix that. You can become more devout. You can become more faithful. That's your part. The devout soul can't help but to be overwhelmed with what they receive. And we should act like it. The Catechism goes on, speaking of the devout souls. This food is for the faithful only. Those who, uniting charity to faith, wash away the defilement of sin in the sacrament of penance, and receive this divine sacrament with all possible holiness and veneration. My God, pay attention to those last words. Receiving this sacrament with all possible holiness and veneration. Folks, think about what you see around you when our Lord is administered. Is it in any way all possible holiness and veneration? People get overwhelmed when you have a communion rail. 65, 70 years ago, they used to have what was called a houseling cloth over the communion rail. The houseling cloth was, you put your hands under that cloth just in case a particle may fall, and it would be really a bad thing if it touched your hands. And what do we see? We don't use houseling cloth anymore. That's because things progress. As you appreciate it more and more, we went to using patents. Not that a houseling cloth is bad. I actually think it's a good idea to have a houseling cloth and a patent, but patents are much more controllable. If a particle does happen to fall on a houseling cloth, it's got to be picked up, and there is a possibility of the particles falling on the floor. St. Cyril of Jerusalem says, to receive our Lord Jesus Christ is like somebody putting gold dust, you know, giving you gold dust. How meticulous would you care for your handful of gold dust? It sure doesn't act like people have a handful of gold dust even when it is distributed in people's hands. All possible holiness and veneration, properly disposed. It is, as the Catechism says, food for the faithful only. Faithful Catholics. Don't hear much of this stuff anymore. Too bad. It's in the Catechism. When we understand this, we should not get something out of it. You shouldn't be able to help but get something out of it. It should be overwhelming to you to receive the body, blood, soul, the divinity of our Savior. There is a preacher, an Irish preacher, ancient, called Lambanus. He's talking about receiving the Blessed Sacrament. He says, we should be receiving as if we were ravenous. Ravenous. That's a word that we don't use too much. A lot of people don't even probably understand what, because in our society, nobody's ravenous. Most of us are overweight. Nobody's ravenous. Saying Columbanus was true. We should approach the Blessed Sacrament if we were ravenous. Y'all love your computers and stuff. Go home and Google search people fighting over food. And watch in these war-torn countries where they'll bring a truck where people haven't eaten for days, and the people will physically fight over obtaining something that if they eat it and get their share, they'll eat it, get full, and they'll be hungry tomorrow. How much more zeal should we have? And we don't have to fight over it. There's enough for everyone. He's omnipresent. It doesn't matter how much bread you make. He can put himself under those sacramental forms and receive eternity. But we approach as if ravenous. We approach as if we've just had Thanksgiving dinner. okay, I'll take a little taste of that. Horrible. Horrible the way our Lord is approached in the Blessed Sacrament. Again, his words, the bread which I shall give you for the life of the world is my flesh. If you receive the Blessed Sacrament one time in your life, you are receiving the Creator of all things, the Eternal One. It would be enough. But he allows you and wants you to be every single day, if you are properly disposed, if you are a member of the faithful, if your soul has been washed in the sacrament of penance. Those two go hand in hand, the Eucharist and penance. You don't avail yourself of penance, it's for naught. You have to appreciate the integrity of the sacraments and how they work integrally one with another, particularly the Eucharist and the sacrament of penance, because when we come with a clean heart, and the more often you receive, just like if you eat enough and right, you are strong. The same thing applies to the Eucharist. We would never conceive of eating once a week. How come the sacrament? It's good enough on Sunday, if I can make it. Those two words, I pray God that you start to think about them when you receive, when you go to Mass, that we should receive this divine sacrament with all possible holiness and veneration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.